It's a purple pants. It's a purple pants. It's the purple pants podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the purple pants podcast. You better listen in public. Might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the purple pants podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the purple pants podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back though. It's the purple pants. It's the purple pants. Welcome to this week's episode of the Purple Pants Podcast. I am your host, Bryce Isaiah, and it's a lituation this week. Ho, ho, ho. I got so much to report to you, but real quick, what's popping? What's been going on? How y'all been? Whoo, me, I am on cloud 9. If there isn't a cloud 9, I'm on cloud 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay. Listen, you know me, busy as a bee, so much going on. What's up? So let's just get into this week's episode because we just got a lot to dissect, to get into because it's a lituation. So we've got the church announcements this week. And this week on the menu, we've got our Survivor news. We have Prodigal Son. I've got The Housewives of Atlanta. I've got The Irishman. I've got Justin Timberlake. Okay, I'm introducing a new segment called Purple Pants Pop-Up. We have the Purple Pants Picks. We got Advice with Bryce. And you know, we got the Freak of the Week, baby boy. So listen. Listen, because before I go, I got to wet the whistle, because listen, this ain't nothing to play with this episode, so hold on. Ooh. And you know, I'm wetting the whistle with the official Purple Pants Podcast Wet the Whistle wine glass, and they are available. Click the link in my Instagram or my Twitter bio, and listen, come wet the whistle with me. I wet in the whistle with some pink lemonade and some Tito's with some fresh lemon juice squeezed from a lemon from my hand, and I'm shaking. So let's get into the church announcements. First on the church announcements was I had the opportunity and the pleasure to attend a Survivor holiday party this weekend in New York through by Dominic, Andrea, and Wendell. And we had some survivors in the building. Just to name a few, there was Wendell, there was Andrea, there was Eliza, there was Josh, there was a huge presence from season 39. We had Tommy, we had Jamal, we had Dean, we had Jason, there was Billy Garcia, there's Michelle Fitzgerald, Gerald, there was Jacob, there was Adam, there was Chrissy, aka Stacy's mom, there was Poppy Bear, there was Denise Martin, there was Julie Rosenberg, there was Julia, there was Figgy, there was Pat, there was Leslie, there was Jillian, there was Carol, there was Chris Noble, and who? There was Chris Underwood. Yes, I got to meet Chris Underwood this weekend. Oh my God. Whew. I was on cloud 9 meeting Chris and his beautiful wife, Kate Underwood. You know, that's my sister wife, because you know I'm really Bryce Isaiah Underwood. It was so much fun meeting him, seeing him in person. But ring the alarm. You know that Beyonce song? Ring the alarm. I've been through this too long, but I'll be if I see another. Ring the alarm. Whoo! Purple Pants Posse. I don't know if you guys know me, but you should know me since we go together. But listen, I'm shaking. I am shaking in my boots. So I just, you know, it's a story in the story. You know, I started watching Survivor maybe like almost 10 years ago when I was in college. The first season of Survivor I watched, I saw this character. Her name was Cerie Fields. I'm getting like, I'm about to cry. There was this character named Cerie Fields that I was like totally obsessed with. And I just could so relate to her. She just reminded me of like a aunt, a family member. And I was like, oh my God, I love her. This she has. I'm like, if Cerie could play, I can play. And Cerie is the reason why I even ever wanted to play Survivor. I enjoyed the show. I never really wanted to play. But after seeing a character like Cerie, how could that not inspire you to play Survivor? So you know me, I sent in a video. Boop, 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 boop. The story of Survivor Kagyan. And ever since then, I've always been preaching my love for Ceree. And there was a couple of opportunities that, you know, I almost got the chance to meet Ceree. There was a couple of events I was supposed to go to, but, you know, due to work, baby boy couldn't make it. And it was just a lot going on. But this Survivor party over the weekend, you know, I'm just, you know, getting cute. I'm excited to meet Chris Underwood. I'm excited to see all of these other Survivor players. And, you know, I'm running late. I'm in my hotel. Wendell's like texting me like, I'm outside. Come outside, you know, I gotta make sure I look cute, you know, boom, 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 you know, make sure I'm pre-gaming, you know, I got my Tito's, trying to look cute. We pull up to the event, boom, boom, boom. You know, I was with Rodney, with Joey Hatch. Shout out to Joey Hatch. With Wendell, we walk in. We walk up the steps. We like, wait, is this the right bar? You know, we're not the right bar. Then we ran into Michelle Fitzgerald. We ran into Figgy. We all like, is the where the bar at? You know, because we come fashionably late. Boom, boom, boom. We hear the music. We go up the steps. I walk up the steps. I see the room. I see Dominic. I see his wife. I turn to the right, and I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Hold on. Wait. Let me wet the whistle. Let me wet the whistle. Oh. I turn to my right, y'all. And I'm like, oh, my God. Is that Ceree? Oh, my God. I think that's Ceree. Oh. So I start shaking, y'all. I'm shaking. I'm like, I got enemies. And then I see Ceree. She points at me. I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? So then I, like, go outside the door because I'm like, I got to compose myself. I got to compose myself because this, I wasn't expecting to meet this. I was expecting to meet all these amazing other Survivor players. But, oh, then the room started getting foggy. I started getting a little dizzy. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm about to meet Ceree Fields. So I had to get myself together. And so I go back in the room and, like, I see Wendell is, like, staring at me. I see Rodney. Rodney's, like, looking at me like, what's wrong? What's wrong? And then, like, you know, I so apologize because there are so many other, like, Survivor players around, like, saying, like, hey, Bryce, oh, my God, Bryce. But listen, my mind was somewhere else. And then, you know, I see Ceree. I see her son, Pooh. I see her husband. And Ceree starts walking over to me. Like, y'all don't understand what this moment was for me. It is, like, I don't know if you got your favorite bands, you have your idols, like, literally, to be able to be in the presence of Ceree, oh, it's just like, oh, my God, I'm about to start getting teary-eyed because I just love Ceree, and I never thought that I would ever be just in a position that, like, let alone meet her, but for her to know who I am. And then I'm just like, oh, there's Ceree. And then, you know, all of a sudden I start getting a little lightheaded. I'm like, Wendell, I think you need to catch me. Oh, I fall out a little bit. And then it's like, Ceree! Oh! Oh! Oh, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And we embrace, and we hug, and we talk, and she just like, I love you. I'm like, girl, no, I love you. And then I just start going crazy. But I got to meet Ceree Williams. So I'm saying Ceree Williams. Ceree Fields. I could not believe it. I could not believe I was in her presence. She smelled so good. So Ceree like, let's do some shots. I'm like, okay, yes, girl, my type of girl. Let's wet the whistle. And just from there, the party just went up from there, hanging out with all of the Survivors, you know, cutting the rug, having a good time, but I cannot. Yes, I'm ringing a bell. Ring the alarm. I've been doing this too long because if I just met Ceree Fields. Whew. Okay. I'm sorry, y'all. It just was a lot, and I just still cannot believe that I had the opportunity to meet the woman that inspired me to play Survivor, that, like, you know, just my life has changed from that, and it's like I feel like I owe it to her. But it was just such an amazing, she's an amazing soul and an amazing spirit, and it just was amazing. The party was amazing. Yes, amazing. Shout out to Dominic, Wendell, and Andrea for putting that together. Yes, it was a lituation, y'all. A lituation, baby boy met Ceree Fields. Whew. Yes, y'all hear my breathing. I'm still on cloud 9. So please forgive me if throughout this podcast, I just start screaming because I'm thinking about I got to meet my idol, Ceree Fields. Okay. Next on the church announcements, I have the high road. You know, I'm on a road for a better Bryce, and you know this, I've been on this journey for a long time, and I just wanted to also just encourage anyone out there that a lot of the times in situations with friends, family members, other people, you'll come into situations where it's easy to be petty, and it's easy to, you know, just be shady and cut people off, but I'm just encouraging my Purple Pants posse that through this holiday season, that we take the high road, that we don't go down the road of, like, you know, falling into our old ways of being shady and doing those things. It's like really taking the high road. Now, taking the high road doesn't mean that you allow things like people to get away with doing things that you don't like, but, you know, holding people accountable, letting them know how they make you feel, but also taking the high road, be productive and, you know, being strategic, like the game of Survivor. Just take the high road. And so I just want to encourage everyone, you dealing with people, personal inner relationships, marriages, boyfriends, friends, any of that stuff, to just take the high road sometimes, and you have to do what's best for you and to acknowledge how you feel and acknowledge where you're coming from in situations. So I just want to put that on the church announcements to take the high road, Purple Pants Posse. We are on a journey for a better us. You know, I've been on this journey for a long time, but it doesn't matter where you started from. It matters where you end up. So I just wanted to give that little piece of advice to somebody who ever needs to hear it. That one is for you. Now let's get onto the menu. We got our Survivor news. All right, now this week we've got our Purple Pants Survivor Report with our resident reporter, our baby boy, Jack Atkins, reporting live from Chicago University. Jack, are you with me?
Woo, what's poppin'?
What's poppin'? Are you my loved one visit this week?
Yes, sir. You know it.
All right.
Yo, you hear that knocking?
Yes.
Yo, I'm here.
What's up? So how's it in Chicago?
It's good, man. Final season is upon me, so a little bit busy, but I'm headed home soon for break, so I'm chilling.
You studying hard?
Sort of. I just got Uber Eats. I was studying the McDonald's menu, I'll tell you that.
Oh, listen. I'm here for it. So what you got for us this week on our Survivor news?
So we had a fun episode this week, and as always, late in the season, we kicked it off with, you know what, a family visit, Bryce. What did you think of that family visit?
Well, you know, I love my family visits. And, you know, I did a podcast with Rob Sesternino this week with the family visits, and I'm here for it. I definitely was here for Lori Dean's mom. You know, she was smelling baby boy.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And, you know, I definitely was here for, I think it was John, Janet's husband, and I definitely was here for Lauren's husband. Those are definitely my standout people from this family visit.
Yep, that they were all cool, a lot of good people. And Janet's husband reminded me of someone, but I just couldn't put my finger on who he looked like.
I told Rob this week he reminded me of Nick Wilson, the winner of David vs. Goliath.
Really?
He reminded me of Nick's dad.
Oh, okay. Oh, you remember Nick's dad?
I remember
Mr. Wilson.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Yep. And then after that family visit, we see Nora get real upset that she wasn't picked. And then she starts ranting like Nora does about how she was trying to turn on the other group. What did you think of Nora's plan and about how open she was with it and about how those four came together with the potential to vote Tommy out?
I thought it was actually a great plan. Anyone but Nora could execute it. Like, you know, we see when Nora went to, you know, Island of the Idols and had to execute her plan. We see how that kind of unfolded for her. So, I mean, I actually, as a strategic player move, I thought that that would be really, really great for her to flip on her alliance and for her to make a move. However, knowing Nora, she should have just stuck with her alliance and not even rocked the boat.
I mean, yeah, it seemed like it was going to be a great move, especially because we see that core four on the other side was planning to split the votes between Karishma and between Elaine, and then that would have allowed them to put their four votes on Tommy without having to do any splitting. And we see Nora, like, thinking, oh, should we split one vote onto someone else? And Dean is just like, that's just not how math works, Nora. And then she goes and, like, gets her leaves and her rocks and She tried to be like Michaela back in Millennials versus Gen X.
Yes. But listen, that's good, though, because, listen, when I played Survivor, you know, long, long time ago, and I wish that I would have, like, counted things out, because I let my emotions, like Nora, get the best of me, and somebody was coming for me, so I was like, I'm coming for them, guns a-blazing. So I wish I would have got a little leaf out and been like, wait a minute, if they're splitting three votes me, three votes Morgan, and me and Morgan are going to do two votes Alexis, why don't I just write Morgan's name down and stay? So, I mean, you know, although it doesn't look that smart, I'm not mad at Nora for counting that stuff. But, I mean, Nora just
I'm not mad at her getting the leaves and the rocks out. I'm just mad that she should have got a calculator out, right? She doesn't know how to do math. And then, so, we see Dean is a little uncertain. Baby boy Dean. I know you were with him in New York last night.
Yeah. And I smelt him, too.
You smelt him?
I did.
Did his mom give him some good cologne?
He did smell good.
Okay. And then at Tribal, right away, we see Dean blow up Nora's whole situation. And it quickly became what my aunt said over Thanksgiving, a lituation. And Nora started, she got it popping. Dean got it popping. Tommy was freaking out. What did you make of that whole situation?
I mean, I thought it was a good move for Dean, because it's like, why not solidify this lituation with Tommy and blow up Nora? And obviously, I don't feel like the votes were coming Dean's way. But listen, Dean is like, you know, the numbers are dwindling down. We getting close to the end. So why not solidify a trust with Dean and betray Nora? Because unfortunately, Dean is a part of the GOAT army. And it's like, what moves have Dean done this season? So if I'm Tommy, or if I'm Lauren, or if I'm Janet, I would definitely want to sit next to a Dean or a Nora. But if, you know, Dean can show that Nora's not being trustworthy and throwing their names out, then yeah, come on, get closer, baby boy.
Yes, I saw Dean get a lot of like bad feedback on that move, and when he did it, I was very confused as well. But if I try to think about it from his perspective a little bit, in my mind, Dean at this point probably thinks he can maybe beat anyone but Tommy, maybe Lauren, and maybe Janet. He probably thinks he could beat Karishma, he could beat Nora, he could beat Elaine, he could beat Dan. And that's probably true, honestly. He might be able to beat all four of those people. So to him, he's like, if I get rid of Tommy now, then I might be next on the hit list. So if he's unsure about Nora's status right now, he thinks she might not really be with him. He might be worried that he could be a target very soon. So it might, like you said, it might make sense to solidify that bond with Tommy and then make his move a little bit down the line.
Right. So, I mean, I thought it was, like, rather genius. I was a little confused as to why wait to Tribal and not wait when you've got time at the camp. But, I mean, it definitely makes for good, you know, TV and good Tribals.
Yeah, but if you do it at camp, then Nora might blow things up there, and you might have to deal with crazy Nora for even more hours.
True.
I don't know.
I feel like if he did it at camp and then Nora were to blow up, maybe it would give them more time to be like, let's get Nora out.
That's true. He could have come to Tommy and Nora wouldn't have noticed, and then they could have played in a little blindside. But
right.
I don't know. Part of me thinks like he really should have pulled the trigger on this move, especially because I agree he's like super smart and super sociable, but he just actually hasn't built much of a resume so far, I feel like, in the eyes of the jury. I think he is overestimating how well he's played.
I mean, I pulled up a lot of these resumes, and I'm confused as to a lot of these resumes, in my opinion, Jack or blank.
Yeah, I agree. I think Tommy and Lauren are really running the show, and then after them, if they both get knocked out, it could be anyone's game. I think Janet has a bit of a chance just because she, like, people will love her so much. Dan
right.
really doesn't have a chance.
Creepy, creepy. Yeah, creepy, creepy is done. Bye.
Yeah,
ugh.
Dan's, and then Nora, I mean, not like, no, she's not.
I mean, you
either.
Never know. Like, if Nora were to get to the end, I could maybe see people voting for her just because how the hell did she get to the end? Like, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah. There was a time early in this episode when she was playing that move where I was like, can Nora win this game? And then she didn't know how to do math. And then I was like, oh. No, she can't win this game.
And I mean, mind you, for a little while, I was like, well, maybe this might be Karishma's game, too.
Ooh, maybe.
You know, but
yeah, why did you think they voted Karishma out over Nora?
I don't know. I mean, I can only assume that they wanted to stick with their alliance. And although, like, Nora was unfaithful, they're like, we'll deal with that back at camp, but let's still get Karishma out, because for real, if Karishma does win another immunity, finds another idol, and gets to the end, like, she really could have you know, they love I don't want to say a poor me, but they love an underdog story. And like, you know, someone like Karishma to come in from the end. And with Karishma being like, you know, the first Indian player, like, you know, and her playing the idols and having that big week last week, like, it's definitely like, you know, she's solidifying herself as a threat. So I could definitely see why they would want to get Karishma out.
Yeah, I agree. If you're the core four as well of Tommy, Lauren, Janet, and Dan, then Once Nora and Dean had that blow up, if you keep them both in, it's going to be harder for them to mount some type of attack against you. Whereas if you still have Karishma, Dean, and and Elaine, then those three could just easily try to pull in one person, maybe like Dan or Janet, and then target the bigger threats.
Definitely. And with this season winding down, since you know you're good with numbers, you think it's going to be a final three or a final two?
I would think. So the jury started at 14, which is pretty crazy. So I would have to say a final, it's got to be a final three, right? Because then there's 11 jury members. If it's a final two and there's 12 jury members, then that could result in a tie.
Right.
And do you think Rob and Sandra might join the jury?
I don't know. I've seen a lot of like talk on Twitter and other places that they might cast a vote, but I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. Like I like them not being members of the game, but I don't know, because that could be definitely interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like they might, but it's hard to tell for sure.
Definitely. Who are you thinking for final three?
So we see in the preview that Tommy and Lauren might start targeting each other. So I would have to think. I think maybe Tommy, Dean, and Elaine.
That's what I'm thinking too, because I definitely think Tommy, I definitely think Dean, I definitely think Dean at this last tribal definitely solidified a bromance with Tommy, and I think Dean will definitely go after Lauren, and Tommy realizes, like, as much as, like, you know, like, Wendell and Dom, you can't stay together, one of them gotta go, and they'd be crazy to take someone like Elizabeth Bengon. They'd be crazy to take someone like Janet with them. So I definitely think Creepy Janet and Lauren are definitely going to be on their chopping blocks, and I definitely will want to take someone like Elaine, because I'm not sure what she's done this season.
Yeah, maybe Nora slips into that.
Oh, yeah, right. Maybe I don't know. I would be a little nervous to bring Nora to. Nora might get a couple of sympathy votes depending on how these last couple of people go. And, you know, when it's time, when the people go up and, you know, they read the final three, like, they could sway some votes Nora's way. So I would want to get rid of Nora, too.
Mm-hmm. All right, yo, my Uber Eats is here. Can I grab it and come back and talk to you for a little bit?
It's fine. You can enjoy your Uber Eats. And thank you again this week for reporting to us our Purple Pants Surviving News. And we'll catch you next week, baby boy.
All right, catch you next week. One more episode until the finale. Let's see what happens.
Let's get it. And save me a French fry.
Of course. Do you actually want to continue?
All right. That was a great Survivor News with our reporter, Jack Atkins from Chicago University. Moving right along on the menu, we've got The Prodigal Son. Now, this episode was the winter finale. It won't be back until January. I'm so sad. But it's only a couple of more weeks now. Prodigal Son. Now, this episode picks up off the last episode, which we talked about on the last episode. So, Malcolm was working on the Junkyard Killer. The FBI came in. Now, if y'all remember from earlier on in the podcast, Malcolm used to work for the FBI, but he got laid off. He got fired. And so now he is working for the NYPD. So, the FBI came in to take over the Junkyard Killer, and so he was removed off the case. You know, Malcolm was feeling some type of way about that, but cases kept coming in through the NYPD, so he was continually to work on that. So this episode, a new case comes in where it is one of the police chiefs is killed. So this is like, whoo, a big deal for the NYPD. So Malcolm's sister Ainsley, that big interview that she doing on her father, Martin Whitley, the surgeon. So she does this exclusive interview and it's airing. So Malcolm is like watching it. He really doesn't want to watch it because obviously it's still bringing back flashbacks to him. So he watching the TV and all of a sudden you got boom, his mom come in the house. She throw a Louboutin at the TV, baby girl. That's how you know you got money, when you breaking TVs with Louboutins. So Malcolm's mom is like, I don't want you to watch that. Like, don't watch that. And so Malcolm's mom is now on a new hunt. And her hunt is that she wants to take her life back. You know, she really feels like her husband, Martin Whitley, has messed up the whole family and he's taken everything from them. And she's like, I want to take my family back. So she's really excited about Christmas. And so she wants to have this big Christmas dinner. And she's like, Malcolm, you've got to come. Malcolm has this new case that he's working on with the NYPD, and it's about the police chief that got killed. Now, he's with a prostitute, and it looks like it's a suicide killing. Looks like he shot the prostitute and then shot himself. But obviously, Malcolm gets to the scene. He does, baby boy does his thing, and he's like, this not what happened. This is a setup. And they're like, well, it looks like, and Malcolm's like, no, it looks like this is a double homicide. So they're like, okay, Malcolm, well, you got to work the case. You got to show us what's up. So back at the office, you know, Malcolm's at the office in the FBI. This FBI leader, Megan Good, y'all know who Megan Good is from Cousin Skeeter. So she is like the FBI lead, and she has a hard on for Malcolm. Malcolm and her used to work together, and she is just not here for Malcolm. So she asks Lieutenant Aroy, if she can have one of his people. And Malcolm's like, well, I know the killer the best, so I can do it. And she's like, no, baby, I don't want you. So she takes one of Malcolm's partner, the female partner. And then, you know, Malcolm isn't happy about it, but Lieutenant Aroy, I don't know why I can't say his name, Aroy, y'all know who I'm talking about. She's like, can I have her? So basically, Megan Good takes her. And so as they're talking, Megan Good is talking with Malcolm's partner. And basically, the partner realizes, like, you don't really want me to help you with this case. You really want me to watch Malcolm. And so Megan Good is basically like, I used to work with Malcolm. And Malcolm isn't the person that you think that he is. Malcolm really just gets caught up in these cases, and he takes everyone down with him. So she's like, you need to be careful about baby boy Malcolm. But, you know, loyal as Malcolm's partner is, she doesn't really crack. But obviously, you can see that Megan Good is planting seeds in her head. So, Malcolm and Lieutenant that's his name for the episode, Lieutenant So, they are working the case. And Malcolm figures out, like, well, he's like, well, we need to figure out all the people that used to work with this chief, this police chief, because we need to, like, track down these suspects. So, they find a partner of the killed police chief. They find an old partner. Now, one of the things that they tell us about this police chief is, like, he was one of the people that was, like, a good cop. He rose to power the right way. And so, he rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, because there's a lot of dirty cops in the NYPD. And basically, they're saying, like, a lot of the dirty cops did not like him. So, they found one of his old partners who had to leave the force for not good terms. So, they go knock on his door. He opened the door with a gun, like, who is it? Now, when Malcolm figures out who this is, this also, Malcolm has a flashback. This partner of the dead police chief also questioned Malcolm when he was a child, back when Malcolm turned his dad in. And we see a flashback of Malcolm as a child with this old partner. And basically, the partner's like, there's more to the story. When your dad got arrested, your dad says something to you like, we're the same. What does it mean? Is there more? Is there more you need to tell me? And so Malcolm has a flashback of that. And Lieutenant is like, are you okay with this? Are you sure you can handle it? And Malcolm's like, that's a long time. He won't remember who I am. So basically, they meet up with the police, his old partner, who crazy, and, you know, he is still upset that, you know, he was kicked off the force. And so he's practically their lead suspect at this point. But Malcolm don't think that he did it. So they're still keeping him around, and basically, they're like, they explained to him that they found the lieutenant, the police chief, dead with a female prostitute. He like, a female prostitute? Well, here's a little tea for you. The police chief, he was gay. So that's how you know this definitely was a setup. So they're like, ooh, he was gay. So they track down the service of the company that they use for the girl. The lady's a madam. Now, mind you, now she's not selling on the papers prostitution. She's selling dates, but really turns into prostitution. So they meet up with her. They're questioning her. Like, did you send him to kill her? We know that the police chief was onto your ring. And she's like, no, I did not. So then they start showing her the photos of the dead girls. And she's like, no, I can tell you what I did do. She was like, I did want to set him up because he was onto me. So I wanted to get him with a girl and so I can get pictures and blackmail him. But she was like, I definitely did not have my girl killed, and I definitely did not have him killed. And she's like, well, if he didn't kill her, who did? So Malcolm is on his way to his mom holiday party, and mind you, the guy, the police chief's partner, it's like, you, mind you, Malcolm got a crazy life, because he just walking down the street with a little fruit pie, fruit cake, you know, literally a fruit cake to bring to the house, and the guy is like, you thought I wouldn't remember who you are? You could change your name, but I know who you are. And so Malcolm's like, and he's like, I know you had something to do with it. I know there was more to it. And so Malcolm divulges to him, like, listen, I have lost a lot of my memory. My dad drugged me, so I only have pieces of my memory, and it's starting to come back. And he was like, people are thinking that I'm crazy because, like, I am obsessed with it. And so the guy is like, I can relate to that. You know, the reason why he was kicked off the police force is because he knew that there was something more to Malcolm's dad, and he kept kind of chasing this story. But they were like, you're obsessed. This is it. This is all that's it. So him and Malcolm kind of have a bond. And so basically he tells Malcolm, like, well, listen, the police chief had a secret hideout where he used to work on cases that he didn't want nobody to know about. He was like, I could take you. So Malcolm's like, okay, now here you go. Here go Malcolm. Malcolm always following somebody down an alleyway, going to a junkyard at night. Like, Malcolm, you need to call for backup. So anyway, he takes them to this garage, and Malcolm gets there. And mind you, I was getting a little scared. I was watching this at night because they're setting it up like the guy might be hurting Malcolm. I'm like, I don't want y'all to hurt my baby boy, Malcolm. So we get there, and it's a garage, and Malcolm starts uncovering like the sheets and stuff. And basically he realizes that the lieutenant that got killed was working on the junkyard killer. And Malcolm's like, well, wait a minute. What is this? He was like, yeah, you know, he never gave up on it. And so the partner of the chief is like, you know, he gave up on me, and basically divulges to Malcolm that they were lovers. Ooh, okay, little love triangle. And so he's like, yeah, he let the force kick me out, and basically, like, you know, thought I was crazy. And so as Malcolm does his, you know, his profiling, he discovers that, like, he was trying to exonerate his ex-partner. So now the ex-partner kind of gets mad, and it's like, oh my god, I can't believe it. And so, you know, Malcolm's like, look at all of this stuff. And then one of the pieces of papers that falls out is like a paper of the suspects. And Malcolm's like, you guys had suspects? And he's like, yeah. And Malcolm's like, well, listen, we can compare them to the suspects that I had, and if anybody overlaps, then that might be the same person. So basically they figure out the junkyard killer is this guy named John. And Malcolm's like, well, I gotta add dress for him, but it's over 20 years old. Now, here's the thing. Malcolm is not supposed to be working on the junkyard case. You know, Megan Good is, she is running it and does not want him to be anywhere near this case, given Malcolm's situation and how close Malcolm is to the case. But y'all know Malcolm. Malcolm, he's like, okay, let's go. So, boom, 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 boom. They go to the door, and they're knocking on the door, and as they go to the door, Malcolm calls Lieutenant, and he tells him, like, listen, the junkyard killer is the one who killed the police chief. And he's like, I'm chasing down a suspect. And Lieutenant is like, what you doing? So Lieutenant tells Megan Good, like, listen, the junkyard killer is the one we believe that possibly killed the police chief, and Malcolm is chasing down a witness. And Megan Good is like, what you mean chasing down a witness? He's not supposed to be there. And so basically Megan Good is like, well, where is Malcolm? And Lieutenant is like, I don't know. So they start calling Malcolm. Malcolm is not answering. So they knock on the door. Malcolm is with the dead police chief's ex-lover who got kicked off the force. So they knocking at the door. This old blind lady answers the door. She's like, what is that? And they're like, we're looking for John. She's like, John, that's my grandson. So Malcolm, as a profiler, he's like, oh my god, this is a profiler's heaven, to be able to see where he grew up. I could be able to get clues. So they go in and start talking to the grandma who blind, and the grandma make them TV dinner. So they sitting down at the table, and you know, you start seeing why the junkyard killer is like killing the way he is, because his mom was a heroin addict and he never knew his dad, which is why he's like killing these people off the street. And the grandmom is very religious, but the grandma also crazy. So Malcolm's like, can I go to the bathroom? She's like, may you go to the bathroom. And so Malcolm tells the guy that he's with, he's like, listen, I'm gonna go to the bathroom, see if I can snoop around a little bit. You keep talking to see if you can, she can tell you more about John. Also, they like, you got any pictures of John? So the grandma pulls out this photo album, and then she's showing them photos of John, but all of the photos of John are like scratched out. And so Malcolm tells the guy, like, maybe John knew that the dead police chief, which is why he killed him, was getting on to him. So he came back to his grandma's house and scratched out all of his photos, so that if they ever figured it out, they would not be able to ID him. So Malcolm's like, I'm gonna go upstairs, go to the bathroom, see if I can figure anything out. So Malcolm goes upstairs, he finds John's room, and mind you, he goes into this closet and he sees like chains in the closet. And so Malcolm, like, kind of like, you know, as he's doing his work as a profiler, he's kind of figuring out maybe the grandmom used to chain him up and she was abusing him, and that's why he's like how he is. And so Malcolm goes downstairs to kind of like report back, and the grandmom's just talking, and he looks over at the guy and it's all his blood. And Malcolm figures out, like, oh my God, the junkyard killer is here. And he's like, you called him. And the grandma was like, of course I called him. I was getting chills because it was getting spooky. So Malcolm pulls out the gun that the detective, ex-detective, brought. And he's like, and the grandma was like, he's going to get you too. So Malcolm looks outside and sees like a body. Now, this is where Malcolm gets on my nerves. You see somebody dead. You with a crazy grandma. If that's me, I'm taking my phone. 911, this is Malcolm Whitley, somebody trying to kill me, and I'm running to my car. No, what does Malcolm do? Malcolm goes outside to the open garage. First of all, the junkyard killer already beat up Malcolm when he was following him, so why is Malcolm doing the same thing that he's doing? I don't know. So Malcolm goes into the garage, boom, the junkyard killer hit him over the head. And basically, it's like, we have to stop meeting like this. And Malcolm's like, they're going to find you. He's like, where I'm taking you, they're never going to find you. And then the episode just leaves off with the junkyard killing. The junkyard killer just dragging Malcolm along. Okay? Ooh. I'm trying to tell you, Prodigal Son is good. Y'all need to get on it. It's on a hiatus until January. So y'all got time over this holiday break to get your homework done. Okay? Get up on it. Now, let's get on to Housewives. This was a really good episode this week. It's starting to juice up. So the main premise again of this episode of Housewives was Marlo, who's Nene's friend, who, again, Marlo's on the road to a better Marlo. You know, Marlo is still shady, but, you know, she's really kind of friends with all of the girls and really kind of bringing everyone together and trying to like help Nene mend the patches with Cynthia. So the main thing this week is Marlo is releasing a new wig line. So she wants all of the girls to come to her wig line situation. So basically, a lot of the episode is whether or not the girls are going to come. So this week, we see Nene. She has lunch with Candy. Candy and Nene have a very on-again, off-again relationship. We see each other. So Nene meets up with Candy for lunch, and Nene is like, listen, you know, and mind you, the last time Nene and Candy seen each other was at the reunion when Candy was like, when Nene was like, Candy is a nobody. Candy is a nobody. You're not important. So basically, you know, Candy is a little skeptical about meeting up with Nene. So they meet up with Nene, each other. Candy tells Nene about, you know, how she's pregnant. Nene tells her about how Greg is not in remission after 5 years of clean scans. He'll be in remission. So it's like, you know, good kiki. And so basically, Candy asks Nene if she's going to Marlo's hair launch. Nene is like, you know, I'm gonna be there, the girls, da, 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 da. But obviously Nene, her storyline this season is Cynthia, which is funny because, you know, in previous seasons, Nene's always accused Cynthia of like, you know, you don't have a storyline, I'm always your storyline. Well, it looks like this season Nene's storyline is her relationship with Cynthia. So obviously Nene is like, you know, she's been talking bad about me, you know, I did one interview and it's over the world. And Nene like drops this bomb that, you know, Cynthia out here dogging me like a dog. And Nene explains to Candy that, like, you know, one of my friends met up with Cynthia and recorded her. Okay, they didn't record a podcast, okay, they recorded her talking smack about Nene. And so Nene's like, I have every right to do what I'm doing. So Candy, this episode, we see Candy and her husband Todd. Todd has a daughter prior to his relationship with Candy, Kayla. She's an older girl, she's in her 20s, and Kayla and Todd just came back from a Europe trip. And so basically Kayla wants to move to New York to pursue her fashion career, and in this episode she's like kind of explaining that to Todd and Candy. And basically Kayla's like, you know, Todd's like, you know, I'm proud of you that you want to go to New York and follow your dream. And Kayla's like, oh, you finally say that you're proud of me. So basically Kayla reveals that, like, she doesn't really feel that Todd is the most supportive, he doesn't communicate well with her, and that she doesn't feel like he shows affection. And then in Candy's confessional, she kind of sort of agrees with Kayla, and she was like, you know, she's always feeling like in the middle of their relationship. And like, you know, Candy is nervous because she's like, Todd is great with their son Ace, but as Candy surrogate is pregnant with a female, Candy's like, I don't know how he's going to be with my son, my daughter. So that's kind of like an interesting storyline. We have Portia and Tanya. They do a little procedure where it's not like liposuction, but it's like an ab crunch. Child, I need to do this because, listen, I've been off my diet. Okay. Baby boy is gaining weight. But listen, I'm going to try to rock out these holiday seasons and then come the new year. I'm going to get it started. And we know Portia just had a baby, so she's got a little baby fat, you know, a little extra pushing to the cushion. So Tanya takes Portia to this like office where it's not like a surgical procedure. It is a like a thing where they strap something to your body for 30 minutes and it's like doing 2,000 crunches. Baby, where can I get that at a reasonable price? Because that's what I need. So there Tanya talks about how the girls are divided, and like, you know, the only thing that brings the girls together a lot of the times is if they go on a trip. So Tanya is from Canada and they do a big carnival festival in Canada. She's like, I want to bring the girls there. So everyone's excited. Boop, 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 boop. So the day of then we see Cynthia. Cynthia is, you know, Mark Hill. She's the girlfriend. Mark is going to be spending more time in Atlanta. So Cynthia meets up with Candy and Kenya at a hardware shop because Cynthia is going to be remodeling her closet to make more room for her boyfriend Mark Hill. And so obviously they're all there, and Candy brings up like, well, you know, I just met up with Nene, and they're like, oh child, blah, blah, blah. You know, Cynthia kind of starts going in on Nene, and Candy's like, yeah, well, Nene said that one of y'all mutual friends recorded you talking smack about Nene. And so this is real spicy. Cynthia's like, well, I don't care, Nene got all of her friends, I'm surprised she would even be entertaining this. And at end of the day, Cynthia's like, whatever I said is what I felt and what I meant. You know, Miss Nene always talks about me, so here I am. So we know that Kenya and Marlo have not had a good relationship, but we do know that Marlo has invited everyone to her wig launch. Cynthia is going to be attending. Candy's going to be attending. Kenya is not going to be attending. You know, Eva and Marlo, they is like oil and water. They not mixing. Eva's like, I'm not attending. So the day of the wig launch, you know, it's really, really cute. All of the girls arrive. So it is Cynthia there, Marlo's there, then Nene's friend Ivana, who was at the barbecue, the Bailey Q, who was sticking up for Nene. And when she gets there, you know, her and Cynthia are cool. And Candy's like, are you the friend that recorded Nene or Cynthia talking smack about Nene? And she's like, no, why would I do that? Now, mind you, two episodes ago when Nene had Marlo in Ivana over at her house, and Ivana told Nene that Cynthia was talking crap, Marlo was like, well, do you have receipts? And Ivana was like, you know, I got receipts. So I wonder what the receipts are. Receipts sound like they could be the recording. But when Candy asks Ivana, she's like, no, I would never record. So Portia is on her way to the event with Tanya and Shamia. And basically Shamia is in the back seat. Portia got on his blonde wig, and Tanya is like, you know, if you see Nene, are you going to speak? And then Portia kind of runs down her relationship with Nene, that they started off really good friends. They were like big sister, little sister. Then they had a falling out, and then they kind of got back together when Portia was pregnant. Then they had another falling out, and then Nene was sending her nasty text messages over the summer. And like I was telling y'all before, if y'all follow those Instagram sites of the housewives, they give you all the tea. And then Portia had posted a text message where Nene was calling Portia bent up, body, ashy. And so they just were kind of going over their feud. And Portia was like, if I see Nene, I ain't going to speak. So all of the girls are there. It's Marlo, Cynthia, Ivana, Eva, Tanya, Portia, and Shamia. And so Nene arrives, and you know, bravo, with the shadiness, you know, slow motion. Nene comes in and like, you know, don't, don't, don't. And Nene comes over. She speaks to everybody. She goes to speak to Portia. Portia walks away. She speaks to Cynthia. Hi, Cynthia. Gives her a kiss. And then Cynthia's confessional is like, whatever games Miss Leeks wants to play, I can play. She wants to smile and hug, I can smile and hug. So Marlo event is going well. You know, they're playing games with the wigs. You know, really glad that Marlo has her own business. You know, go ahead, woman empowerment. And all of a sudden you hear a bump, 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 bump. It's Kenya Moore hair product. Bump, bump, bump. So Cynthia's friends, Kenya Moore, decides to come to Marlo's wig launch, but she brings a marching band, and she brings her Kenya Moore hairline product. So, and it's like this big thing. And Marlo, for the most part, responds well, and it's like, yes, that's great, that's great. But you know, Marlo is burning up inside. And you know, she kind of really embraces it, but everybody is dying. Like, I cannot believe Kenya did that. That is shady. And so that's basically the end of the episode. Then the next episode, we kind of really see the arguments that start to happen and maybe the development of the trip. Now, here's the one thing that I can say about Marlo. Marlo has been shady her 8 years on the show. And so has Kenya. And this is what I don't like. And, you know, it kind of brings me back to my Zaddy calendar drama a little bit. Don't play with somebody's money and their livelihood. Like, Kenya, if you did not want to come to her event, don't come to her wig launch trying to bring drama with her money. Like, I know this is a TV show, but I don't play that type of stuff. I don't like that. Don't play with people when they trying to do businesses and they trying to, like, really get their stuff together. I don't like stuff like that. So, y'all know I will keep you posted on the tea and what's going on. Now, let's get into The Irishman. Now, it is a movie on Netflix. It is starring Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, Joe Pesci. And basically, anybody that you see in, like, The Godfather, you know, crime, you know, gangster movies, they all in this movie. Now, mind you, generally, I don't like these type of films. They not just, I wouldn't say I don't like them. I just don't watch them by myself. Now, if I'm like, you know, with a boo love or with a friend and they recommend a movie, then obviously I can watch it. Now, I seen The Irishman on Thanksgiving when my stepdad, after Thanksgiving, he put it on and was watching it. And when I was upstairs in my room and stuff, I was kind of like listening to it. But this weekend, when I went to New York and me and Rodney kind of roomed together, Rodney was like, did you see The Irishman? It's so good. So Rodney kind of put the movie on. And mind you, it's a long movie, but I ended up watching all 3 hours of it, and it really, really is a good movie. So if you guys are into, I would say, the crime mob, you know, the mafia, all of that type of movie, it's in the 1950s with a truck driver named Frank Sheehan gets involved. Russell Bufflone, who is played by Al Pesci, and his Pennsylvania crime family. Now, what makes this movie so much more interesting is basically it's based in Philadelphia and about the Philadelphia mob. So that's why I was like, ooh. As Sheeran climbs to the rank and becomes a top hitman, he also goes to work for Jimmy Hoffa, a powerful teamster tied to the organization of crime. Now, these are real characters that you can kind of look up. And it's just interesting because, like, Jimmy Hoffa and school, like, I learned about him, and he was tied to, like, the mayor of Philadelphia at the time, which was, like, Joe Rizzo, and it just was really, really good. So if you guys like crime mob movies, this movie, and if you're from Philadelphia, I was like, let me listen. And it was just interesting seeing some of the things that they were talking about in the places. I'm like, I know where that's at. I was telling Rodney, like, ooh, that's in South Philly. You gotta see that. But it's a long movie, but I definitely recommend break it up in parts, watch the first half of the movie, and then, you know, break it up, watch the second half. I definitely think it's definitely a little date night movie, a friends over watch the movie, but definitely The Irishman on Netflix is a really, really good film. And mind you, I don't know about y'all, but whenever you watch these movies and there's, like, the main characters and they're, like, killers or in the mobs, I just find it always so interesting because I always, like, sort of kind of, like, fall in love with them, even though they out here killing people, even though it's, like, you know, they really mean well. You really can kind of, like, relate to the different characters. And it's just, like, you know, like, the crime family and stuff is, like, you know, obviously they were out here killing people, blowing things up, but they really loved each other and, like, looked out for each other. So I just always think it's so interesting. So you need a new movie to watch, come on, get on Netflix, The Irishman. It's really good. Now, moving along on the menu, Justin Timberlake, you know, from NSYNC, you know, Cry Me a River. Now, I put him on the menu this week because it kind of sort of ties into, y'all remember the show I was telling y'all, Raising Dion on Netflix, about the little boy that has superpowers and all of that stuff? Yeah, so I'm still watching it. It is getting a little better. I can say that, you know, as Dion is learning to control his powers, you know, his mom knows about the powers now. So the storyline is getting a lot better. But mind you, I still am slow walking it. I believe I'm only on, like, episode 7. They're only 30 minutes. So if you guys need another show, get in a Raising Deanna, let me know what you think. But listen, let me tell you how Justin Timberlake and Raising Dion, I got some juicy tea. So basically, Justin Timberlake is currently filming a movie called The Palmer, and his co-star is Aisha Wainwright. Now, Aisha Wainwright is actually in Raising Dion. She is Dion's mom in the movie. Now, listen, baby, let me wet my whistle to this because this is juicy, okay? So, a couple of weeks ago, the blogs, TMZ. They posted a photo of Justin out. I believe they were in New Orleans filming a movie. Late night having cocktails, and Aisha, there's a photo of Aisha grabbing Justin Timberlake's leg, and very suggestively, but you know, nothing ever really came of that. It was just a photo that the tabloids were running with it for a couple of weeks, and then I basically seen it go to bed. Now, just because you see a photo with a female touching his leg, like, you don't really know. They could have been laughing. Justin could have been getting a little litchiani. It could have been a lituation out there. And she could have been like, baby boy, calm down. Like, you know what I mean? It could have been very platonic. But last week, now mind you, I'm trying to tell y'all, this photo is like 2 weeks old, 3 weeks maybe. So, you know, I didn't really see anything of it. I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. And you know that Justin is married to Jessica Biel. So, this week, Justin Timberlake released a statement. Oh, a statement. Now, I'm thinking, like, why would he release a statement of this photo? And if there was nothing really going on in the photo, he could have just explained it to Jessica. He could have had Aisha explain it. Like, listen, we were just out. The tabloids are running with it. But baby, something must be going on at home. And Jessica Biel is not happy about it because Justin on his, I believe, Instagram released a statement saying, I stay away from gossip as much as I can. Well, baby, not here on the Purple Pants podcast because we live for it. But anyway, I stay away from gossip as much as I can. But my family and I feel it's important to address this rumor. Now, wait a minute. When he says my family and I, you mean Jessica. Jessica must be at home. Like, you better release a statement saying you're not with her. Okay, sorry. Okay. Whew. 4-3-2-1. But for my family, I feel it's important to address recent rumors that have been hurting the people I love. A few weeks ago, I displayed a strong lapse in judgment. But let me be clear. Nothing happened between me and my co-star. I drank too much that night. Okay, Justin was wet in the whistle. I drank too much that night and I regret my behavior. I should have known better. This is not an example of what I want to set for my son. I apologize to my amazing wife and family for putting them through such an embarrassing situation. And I am focus on being the best husband and father I can be. This was not that. I'm incredibly proud to be working on Palmer. Looking forward to continually to make this movie and excited for people to see. Now, bay bang. You know, where there is smoke, there is fire. I just feel like that. I don't believe that photo. It wasn't a lot, but obviously Jessica Biel must have been feeling some type of way already. And then for this photo to come out, she at home like, you on the couch. You on the couch. Well, listen, Justin, if you need a place to stay, listen, Bryce, mind your business. Sorry. But Justin, if you need a place to stay, listen, I got a bed, okay? I got a bed in the bag. I got a couple of them. I could put some new sheets on. Listen, we could watch The Irishman. But I just think that this statement to me fans the fire a little bit more. I just feel like if there really was nothing, Justin, I feel like you should handle it privately. But for you to release this statement to me just says, baby, that bird nest at home is not so happy. But I love Justin Timberlake and I love Jessica Biel and I like Aisha. So I really do wish them all the well. And it's the holiday season. I need families to be together. So that's that. You know, if I hear any more tea, I'm going to report back to y'all. Okay. All right. I want to introduce you guys to a new segment I am bringing to the Purple Pants podcast. Because listen, we go together. We growing. So listen, with growth comes new segments. And I want to introduce you to this new segment I have called the Purple Pants Pop-Up. The Purple Pants Pop-Up is where I want to spotlight amazing entrepreneurs, people that are doing amazing things. If you're a designer, if you are, you know, a builder, if you, you know, opened up a new store and you want the Purple Pants to come show you some love and have me check it out, then hit me up because I want to show you some love. So the Purple Pants Pop-Up. Let me know what you think. All right. Now I have a special edition of the Purple Pants podcast. I did a Purple Pants pop-up. I am so proud of my cousin and my friend, Butter Obama. He's from Philadelphia and he's a local designer. And if you don't know about him, then you need to know about him right now. Butter, welcome to the Purple Pants podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So I actually had to travel down to Butter's store in Philadelphia on Ridge Avenue. And when I tell you, it's fabulous. It is It's fabulous. You walk in, they serve you water. I was trying on some clothes. They didn't help me take the clothes off. It was so amazing. So I am so proud of my friend Butter. He has come a long way. But before we get into that story, tell us about your brand. Tell us about Casual Luxury.
First, thanks for inviting me on the podcast.
Absolutely.
Very happy to be here. I'm very proud of you as well.
Oh.
Congratulations on everything that you have going on.
Come on, God.
Yes, won't you do it?
Oh, Bubba, shut up.
So, Casual Luxury is pretty much the idea of comfort clothing, but at a very good expense. Very quality. The fabrics are amazing. The stitching, the detailing, everything, but it's affordable too. So we're going to stick with that casual. It's pretty much exactly what it is.
Casual
luxury.
Listen, that's up my price range and where I'm all about, casual and luxury. Now, you know, I've been supporting you for so long, Butter. So long. You know where I'm about to go with this story. I've been supporting you before Casual Luxury was Casual Luxury.
Yes.
So back in the day when me and Butter were like 13, no, we were a little older than that, maybe like 14. First of all, Butter was the friend that would call me and be like, "You want to go out tonight?" And I'm like 14, and I would have to sneak out of my window to go out.
I remember.
And like, you know, and like we would like sneak back in like 6 a.m. My mom be like, "Where are you at?" And I was like, "Church." Okay. But Butter, like when we were 14 and 15, Butter used to make like shirts. Like he used to literally draw on his shirts. And I remember the first grade and ninth grade, I said, "Listen, I need me a shirt. I need to be fresh for ninth grade." But yes, come on. I still got mine. But look how far you've come. You have your own storefront in the prime area of Philadelphia. Like, how does that feel to be a young African-American male, like, out here making dreams and inspiring people?
Actually, it kind of seems unreal a little bit. In all honesty, like, I sometimes scale back and be like, wow, this is really me. You know what I mean? And all it was a dream. And it's just like me just putting fire on my own tail to make it happen. But it's really, really, really a good feeling. It's good to see. And it's, I ain't about to cry. But no, it's truly, truly is a blessing more than anything. Just to be able to have an idea and just make it come to life. You know what I mean? And it's so crazy because I knew what this would look like before it happened. You know what I mean? So I already had a vision. It just was me putting it together and me putting the work in and everything I needed to do to make it be fruitful.
And it's just so amazing to like see your progression. It's like, you know, you putting out, you had your hoodies and you went from that. And what I loved about you, Butter, was that you never stopped grinding no matter what the naysayers were saying, because you know Philly is full of haters. And you surpassed all of the haters and you saying, "Look at me now, come to my storefront." Okay. And also another thing that Butter does that is amazing, ladies, prom season, you know, Butter makes fabulous prom dresses. I mean, the wait list is popping. So how has prom season really kind of transformed you? Because like you went from like, I remember back in the day, like you would make like 4 or 5 prom dresses and that was like lit back in the day. Yeah. And now it's like you got them wait list like a year.
And it's really intense, which I love the most. I think prom season kind of put me on a map. I've always been the guy who really know how to sew or button and make clothes, but prom season is like, it's so creative. I get to express my creativity, and it's like, I'm not only in Philadelphia, I'm in Detroit, Atlanta, Miami, you know. It's really big, you know, and then my social media presence, that helps a lot too.
Speaking of social media, what is your social media? Where can people find you at?
Butter Obama.
Oh.
Butter, B-U-T-T-E-R, Obama, one word, no underscores. And then the brand is Casual Luxury underscore. And it's CASUALUXURY underscore. And just Casual Luxury. One L. A lot of people put 2 L's, but it's just one word, one L.
Just one L. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want to take up too much of your time because I know you are a busy, busy man. But I just want to say thank you so much for this experience. And I'm so, so proud of you. Casual Luxury, guys, if you have not heard of it, you need to. I just came in this store and I just swiped up my credit card. So y'all can check my Instagram when I post my little fly photos and my Casual Luxury.
I'm so excited. Thank you so much for coming. I said that you said I'm busy. I actually have to go fit summer walking.
Ooh. Come on, God.
Client, come on, God, right? So so once I'm done with you, I'll be heading down to her to give her her pieces for her show tonight. So
yes. Come on. Look at God. Walk into it. And this is what I'm saying to you guys out there. If you have a vision, you have a dream, continue to follow your path. You know, some days might be a little hard, but continue. Because I am literally sitting in a, this look like a $2,000 chair. Okay. And my good friend's store, Casual Luxury. So I'm so proud of you. Love you, butter.
Love you too. Thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. And that was so exciting. So that was our first take on the Purple Pants pop-up. And that was my friend, Butter Obama, and his clothing design, Casual Luxury. His storefront is located at 1534 Ridge Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19130. And they are open Tuesday through Saturdays, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Sunday, 12 p.m. to 5 p.m. And make sure you guys follow him, Butter Obama, and Casual Luxury 1L. Now, that was our first installment of the Purple Pants pop-up. And what I want to do is I want to hear from you. You know, we go together. If you guys got some, if you're a fashion designer, if you have your own store, if you got products that you want me to try out on a Purple Pants podcast, well, come on, let's do the Purple Pants pop-up. Come on, we go together. So let's get you out there. Let's branch together because, you know, it's all about supporting one another. And Butter has been literally my friend since I've been 13 years old, and I'm so proud of him, and I'm so excited that he was willing to come on the Purple Pants podcast and do the first Purple Pants pop-up. And if you want the Purple Pants podcast to pop up in your store, your area, you know, email me, purplepantspodcast@gmail.com, and let's make it happen. All right, now on to my favorite segment of the show, the Purple Pants Picks. Woo! You know, the Purple Pants Picks is where you tell me what you want me to talk about, any topics, any subjects. You write them down, I talk about them. So, our first Purple Pants Picks comes from Instagram. Jonathan Rose 10 writes, "What's the best holiday gift you've ever got?" Now that's a good question, but I think about when I was maybe in high school, back in the day, I wanted a karaoke machine, okay? I just don't like to do Bryson Wynn Presents Karaoke because it's fun. I love karaoke. So there was like this MTV karaoke machine. It had like a little TV screen in it, and it had like the little MTV CD disc. Mind you, that thing was like $250. I definitely did not think that I was going to get it. And I just never forget, I was like, ooh, open Christmas. And second I came downstairs and I seen, I was like, oh my God. And you know, my mom is a great rapper. So I saw this big thing and I was like, this is the first thing I got to rap. Opened it up and it was the MTV karaoke. Had a little TV and you could buy the MTV CDs that you would put in and the words would play. They had Destiny's Child Bugaboo on there. I don't even remember, but I didn't buy all of the CDs. It came with like 3 CDs, and that was the 3 CDs that I had forever. But I used to be on Napster, so I would like download instrumentals back in the day and then Google the words. And then, you know, listen, I'll be in my room. Ladies, leave your man at home. The club is full of ballers and the club is jumping. So we say, you got a girl. Yeah, true. You got, oh, and they had Destiny Child, my name. Say my name. If no one is around you. So that was one of my most memorable gifts. My other most memorable gifts is memorable gifts. When I was maybe like 5 or 6, listen, you know, I always been a young queen. And so I wanted, there was like, you know how back in the day it was like Easy Bake Oven, like all of that stuff. I love that stuff. They had like an Easy Bake ice cream machine. And I was like, yes. So I was like 7, 8, 9, that age range. So I remember telling my mom, like, that's what I want for Christmas. I want it's not the Easy Bake, but whatever the brand of the Easy Bake Oven, they had like an ice cream maker. Like, but it was like a little one. Like, you know, that just to make the little stuff. So that's what I wanted. I was like, that's what I want. So I never forget Christmas morning, you know, open up all my gifts. And it's like, my mom's like, there's another gift behind the tree, Bryce. And so I see it and it's like another big box. And so all I remember is like opening it. And I didn't know what it was. I opened it and I was like, ah! And I was like, oh my God, what is it? I did not know what it was. So my mom didn't get me the Easy Bake ice cream machine. My mom got me a like ice cream maker, like a real ice cream maker. 10 minutes in, I didn't know what it was. And like my older brother was like, it's an ice cream maker. I was like, oh, Now, mind you, I was a little disappointed because I wanted the Easy Bake one, but it was so big, and you know, size matters for Christmas. So you open up a big box, you're like, ooh, what is this? But yeah, so that, those are like the two most memorable holiday gifts ever. My ice cream maker and my, karaoke machine. Now, weird thing is, my mom still has that ice cream maker. Mind you, we only made ice cream twice. And mind you, that thing is like so old. And my mom, when she had got remarried and they moved to Delaware, like they, we had to get all these boxes and stuff. And I was like, oh my God, mom, why do you still have this ice cream maker? But it was so good to see. All right, let's go to the next Purple Pants picks. A-B-A-G-Y-E on Instagram writes, ups and downs of the holidays. Now, let me wet my whistle before I even get into this. Hold on. The holiday times can be such an emotional time. And so I truly love the holidays. It's my favorite time of the year. I feel like I've said this before. Like, everyone's just so happy. Everyone's in like a giving mood. It's just so much. However, a lot of the times, you know, with, you know, the seasonal depression, the ups and downs, the holidays are not always great for everyone. And, you know, even me, I have a late brother. His name's Bevin. And, you know, so my family isn't complete around the holidays anymore because, like, you know, my brother isn't here. And, you know, my mom lost a child, my brother. So, like, you know, the holidays are very bittersweet. And so, you know, there are some people that don't have parents, that have lost their parents. And so although we want to be so happy around the holidays, sometimes the holidays just think about when you were younger and, like, you know, when everything just seems so perfect. So definitely the holidays can bring some ups and downs. And so definitely, like, my mood changes a lot of the times. Even on Christmas Day, like, I'll just get into a funk and I won't even know why, because it's like I love Christmas. So I definitely can relate to that. What I would say is that, like, you know, you got to surround yourself with people that you care about, people that love you, and, like, you know, try to make the best of it. And I think that it's important to remember the people that aren't here with us during the holiday times and the people that, like, you know, that could be here, or, like, you know what I'm just saying. But so it's definitely a hard time, and it's definitely a time to remember them. However, you can choose to be sad, or you can choose to celebrate the times that we were so blessed to be able to spend with them. And I'm even getting a little emotional talking about it now, just because it's like, you know, my mom, it's really hard for her during the holidays. And I know my mom tries to put on the best face that she can. But obviously, I know my mom wants all of her children to be together. And that's something that will never be. And so it definitely can be touchy. And so I just want everyone to remember that, like, although you may be in the great holiday cheer and you see someone that's like, oh, I hate the holidays, and, like, you're like, oh, you're such a Grinch, like, you know, they really could be going through something. And so maybe I can encourage you guys to go the extra mile to be a friend to them. So I'll even tell you a story. I won't tell you the friend, but maybe you can guess. I've got a friend that, mind you, I'm so excited about the holidays. And every time I'm talking to this friend about the holidays, he's like, oh, I don't care. Be quiet. And so my friend had recently went away on a trip. And I was like, you know what? I want to just do something nice, because I feel like this friend is always doing amazing and nice things to me. So while this friend was away, I took it upon myself to buy a little Christmas tree and to decorate their home for them. Just because, like, you know what? Maybe if you don't want to get into the Christmas spirit, I'm like, let me help you get into the Christmas spirit. So I decorated their house for them and bought them like a little tree and decorated it. And of course, this friend, they called me and was like, what are you doing? Get this out of my house. Of course, the friend was not receptive of it. Obviously, I hope that they were playing, but I just really wanted to, like, you know, just do something nice for someone. And, you know, so hopefully that friend knows that I just was trying to, like, bring a little holiday cheer. Okay. Next Purple Pants pick is real.fan.org. Of, and they write, Watchmen, Regina King is slaying. Yes. So in the last episode, when I had my mom on here, she was saying the Watchmen on HBO. So I've been recording the Watchmen and I have yet to get into it. But over my holiday break, I plan on binge watching Watchmen, because I hear really, really good reviews about it. And I love Regina King. Anything Regina King does is amazing. The Leftovers, she was on this show on TNT called Southland, where she was like a police officer. Regina King is just one of those actresses that I love. So anything that Regina King is in, you can count me in on it. Let's see. I've got Teals or... Teal's sweetie, or Teal Sweetie, writes awkward office slash work Christmas parties. Whew. Let me tell y'all, I got a good, Teal's sweetie, I got a good one. So when I was working at this company that I am no longer working with, I was like rather new there. And it was like this girl there. And she was like one of those girls that be on the timeline. She wanted to get married. She wanted to do all of these like things. And like, you know, I supported it. And so she was like on dating apps trying to like, you know, because a lot at the time, there's a lot of people in our office that had like just got married, you know, just had children. And she was just one. And she was one of those girls that was like a bridesmaid forever. Like, you know what? Them girls is always a bridesmaid and never the bride. So she was like, I'm tired of being a bridesmaid. So maybe in the summertime she had met this guy, she liked them, and she was like, you know, excited. And so here comes the holiday time, and it's like the office Christmas party. So she was like so excited to bring this guy to the office Christmas party. Now me and this girl were like, we are really good co-workers. Like, you know, she helped me out at work, we were great. But some of the stuff that she would tell me about this person, so her boyfriend, because now they married with kids, her boyfriend at the time, he was a police officer. And so she would like just tell me things about him that like really kind of made me not like him. Like, she was saying, now I can't make this stuff up. So when they were dating, they were like talking about like marriage and like if they were to buy a house and the area that they lived in. And so one day at lunch, she is like telling us the story how like they were like, you know, pillow talking last night. And basically they were saying like, if we were to ever buy a house together, he wanted to buy it in this particular area. Now, mind you, the area was maybe like an hour away from where we worked. And so, mind you, I was just minding my business, eating my lunch, like not really like, because here's a sidebar of a sidebar. I don't really like to eat lunch in the lunchroom. Like, don't get me wrong, I love my coworkers and all of that stuff, but I'm one of those people, I'd rather put some headphones in, watch a TV show, or listen to a podcast at my desk and eat lunch. Or go to the mall and go shopping. Like, I'm not one of those people that like to, like, eat lunch at lunch. Mind you, I don't like to be in the kitchen and, you know, red-handed feeling guilty that I just took coffee and I don't want to hear nobody saying, like, who ate my creamer? But anyway. So we at lunch one day and she's telling us this story because she's falling in love with this guy. And she's like, we were talking about like, you know, where if we were to buy a house, and he said this particular area. And one of my coworkers like, well, why y'all want to buy there? So it's so far out. And basically, this is what this person said. She said that her boyfriend at the time said he wanted to be in that area verbatimly. This is what she said. And she said that because the area does not have a lot of black people and he doesn't like to live near the people that he has to arrest. And now, mind you, I still was new at this job. So Spicy Brycey was not like, you know, the Spicy Brycey that is today. So and mind you, everyone was kind of like looking at her. And mind you, she literally was like, well, that's what he said. Like, that's what he said. Like, she was like defending him. I took my little peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I got up from the table and I just left. Cause I'm like, I ain't even about to get into this with her. And, I remember like she sent me an email the other day. Like, did I say something wrong? Like, girl. So anyway, yeah, girl, you said a lot wrong. She continued to make little comments about her boyfriend similar to that. About like his preference of people and different things. And in my mind, I'm like, chill. I don't want to label nobody nothing. But listen, if it smell like a duck, it quack like a duck, it takes selfies like a duck, then it's probably a duck. And so, but anyway, Christmas party come. And, she brings him his little weird, awkward self, like just like antisocial, just all weird. And so my thing was like, I definitely wanted to make it a point to be like, hello, like, you know, no, Spicy Brycey. So we, you know, and mind you, at the Christmas party, you know, we wet the whistle. So this story ain't really that juicy, but it's the first thing that came to my mind. And so I was just like, you know, I was like, so-and-so introduced me to your boyfriend. But I thought was so weird was like, she really didn't want to like introduce us, which I thought was so weird. Like, you talk about him so much and like, you know, but anyway, I made it a point to like go over there and introduce myself to the person. And so they were like standing by themselves, and child, I went over there. I'm like, hey, blah, 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 blah. First of all, this person looked me up and down and like as I'm walking over to them. Like, you know, so I'm walking over, they look me up and down and kind of sort of like turned they back. I said, and I, ooh, because I was like, hello. I said, ooh, because you ain't going to play me. So shout out kindly and politely, went over to the girl. I said, you need to get your boyfriend. I don't know what his issue. And mind you, of course, excuses. Oh, he's antisocial. No. It ain't about being antisocial. Somebody walking over you to say hello, you're at your loved ones, okay, work party, there's going to be plenty of people. And mind you, throughout the night, I had peeped that, you know, people were going over to him saying hello, and he was just fine and dandy with saying hello to them. But when it came to me, he didn't want to say nothing. And so I was like, and she was like really, really kind of defending him and really didn't really want to introduce me. I said, oh, well, first of all, I don't want to introduce his little old ugly, weird self. So, child, like, as the night went on, and when I made my exit, you know, I just, like, said something a little smart. I was like, don't nobody want to meet his little weird self with his high-wooded jean. Like, and mind you, he, like, looked over, like, what's up? But anyway, so that was, like, an awkward Christmas party. Like, yes, the nerve. Can you believe? Child. Whew. All right, what's the next one? All right, then we've got Philippa Faith writes, Gabrielle Union and America's Got Talent. Now, now this has been a juicy, juicy topic. We know, like, last week it was announced that America's Got Talent had fired Gabrielle Union. And basically it was like multiple sources reported that Union was perceived as difficult by Judge Simon Conwell, who basically owns the show. And you know, he owns like the creative control by NBC. And basically they were saying, and the other sources was basically saying that Gabrielle Union and Simon during America's Got Talent had big fights over the season, and basically stemming from racist and transphobic incidences. And so basically, like, you know, and a lot of people have come out in support of Gabrielle Union, like, this ain't right. And mind you, there have been a lot of female judges on America's Got Talent that have been like not axed back over seasons. But everyone thought it was so strange because everyone thought like that Gabby was doing such a great job. And you know me, I love me some Gabby. Everyone thought that Gabby was doing such a great job. It was like, it was so weird. And we've never heard stories about Gabrielle Union being difficult or hard to work with. And with a number of disturbing stories surfacing about the toxic culture that led to their departure or her departure, with multiple organizations launching formal investigations into misconduct behind the scenes, the truth about the culture at America's Got Talent is slowly leaking out, and other people are speaking out and standing up for Gabby and the other young lady that got fired from the show. Now, my mom likes America Got Talent, but y'all need to get it together, and y'all need to get Simon Cowell together, okay? Like, that ain't cool, and I'll be interested to see what's come up from them investigations, because I just don't believe it, because I love me some Gabby, and not just because I love Gabby, but it's something that's quacking like a duck. Now, in the wake of all of these unexpected firings, Simon Cowell and, you know, his production company and NBC kind of released this joint statement saying, we remain committed to ensuring a respectful workplace for all employees, and we take very serious the allegations. Any questions about our workplace culture is what they said through a statement obtained by People.com. Now they're releasing statements like that. Well, we'll see. Now, I will follow this story very closely for y'all. And you know me, I'm a report back to you. Then I have another Purple Pants pick from EA Taylor 20. And they write, if you could go on another reality show, what would it be and why? Now that's a good question. Now, I'm going to just add past and present. So I always wanted to go on The Real World. So I would have to put The Real World, because The Real World is like, who didn't want to go on The Real World when they were younger? And when The Real World came to Philadelphia, me and my cousin Butter Obama, we used to like on Saturday nights go down into like Old City and like sit outside of the Real World house, because we had got rumblings that there was like a gay cast member. So we was like, we wanted to see what Karamo looked like at the time. So definitely The Real World. And Roll Rules. Do y'all remember Roll Rules? I always wanted to go on Roll Rules so bad. I wanted to be in that RV so bad and doing them challenges. Like, oh, those are like my all-time classics. But I would love to go on Amazing Race. Don't y'all think me and Wendell would kill it on Amazing Race? Okay. My crazy behind and Wendell and, you know, and Timmy. Like, I would love to go on Amazing Race. And the challenge. Okay. Y'all see my girl Devon killing it on the challenge. And yes, you see these Survivor crossovers from Survivor to the challenge. Listen, MTV. I will go on the challenge. Okay. I would kill it. Okay, they wouldn't be ready for me. So I mean, yes, there's and y'all know I would do Big Brother too. You know, I would love to do Big Brother. I feel like, you know, my game, first of all, first and foremost, bitch, I would love to play Survivor again. Like, let's just be said. But you know, it is what it is. And I don't really feel like y'all got to see my social, my strategic, my physical ability. But you know, I also would love to do Big Brother. They wouldn't be ready for Spicy Brycey on Big Brother. I'ma come through like a Tay Martian and Tay Martin. Win it. I'm gonna win it all. Okay. And then our last Purple Pants picks comes from Tim_Burns. I think it's two. Yep. Tim_Burns2. Survivor Philly finale and your spicy confessionals. Yes. So I don't know if you guys have seen Survivor Philadelphia has aired our season finale. And it was a great season. Spoiler alert. Baby boy made it to the final three. Okay. So you guys definitely need to get on Survivor Philadelphia, go to their Instagram page and watch the finale and see who takes home the crown of Philadelphia. And yes, I was giving it to them. Like, I sold y'all before. I just went out there trying to have fun, but I came out there and these people was trying to vote me out day. Now, I don't want to say day after day because it was really only like maybe a 9-hour day, but hour after hour, these people kept voting for me. So Spicy Brycey had to come on out and like them confessionals and them tribal councils up. Okay. So listen, check out Survivor Philadelphia. Shout out to Alex G and Mike Corona again for putting on such an amazing thing. Come on, I'm excited to see if they're going to do a Survivor Philadelphia 2. Any of the Purple Pants posse would come to Philadelphia to do Survivor Philadelphia 2 because it definitely looks litchy, y'all niggas. It was a lituation, I'm trying to tell y'all. So make sure you guys check that out. And we are here with Advice with Bryce. So I got a DM this week or last week from D Brode on Instagram. And they wrote, "Hey Bryce, I need some advice with you, Bryce. How do you handle being around people you can't stand? One of my good friends is on again, off again with her husband. And he has cheated on her, blackmailed her, and just generally been super terrible person. Now they are together again, and it's still hard to be around him at social events like Christmas parties. What do I do?" Deidre from Canada. Hey, Deidre. So, I've been in situations like this, D, and let me just tell you, first of all, you have to remember that when your friends tell you things about their partners and their loved ones, like, you know, it's a friend code. So you have to remember to, your loyalty is to your friend always and forever, but you also have to remember that they're telling you a lot of this stuff in confidence. And a lot of times in relationships, friends are going to tell you stuff about their partner, like, "I hate them, I can't stand her," and then tomorrow they're going to be together. So you as a friend have to remember that, and you have to remember not to get yourself wrapped up in that, because a lot of times I am very guilty of that. My friends will tell me stuff about their partners and I'm like, get the Vaseline, take these earrings off, we going to fight. And then when I see the person, I'm ready to fight, like, what's up? Like, and my friend is looking at me like, what are you talking about? Like, what? I love them. So what you have to remember, D, is you have to separate yourself from that. Like, you have to be a good friend, support her, you know, her ups, her downs. But ultimately, like, you have to let her make her own mistakes. And sometimes you might got to separate yourself from the situation. Like, you know, maybe tell your friend, like, "Hey, listen, I love you, and some of the things that this person has done is terrible, and I can't support the relationship, but I support you." But you also have to be careful with that, D, because a lot of the times when people were in love, love is blind. They might cut you off and make you out to be the bad guy. And obviously, it seems like you care about this friend and you don't want that to happen. So what I would suggest is continue to support your friend whenever the friend brings things up to you. Be a good listener. You know, if they ask for suggestions or advice, you know, give them advice. However, but when you're around them in social settings, unfortunately, you got to be the bigger person, like I said in the church announcements, and just say, "Hey, how you doing, Gary?" I don't know if that's his name, but "Hey, Gary, how you doing?" And keep it cute. You kind of have to, like, cut. You got to know where your boundaries are. And as friends, we confide in our friends. And so, like, you have to allow your friend to make the mistakes that she wants to make with her husband. And you, as her friend, have signed up to support her. You may not agree with him. You may not, like, you know, want them to be together. But ultimately, like, if you express your concern and is nasty to Gary, then he's only going to say nasty things to you. And ultimately, it really could put a damper in your friendship or could end the friendship. So what I would say to you is continue to support that friend. Continue to be a great friend to her. But keep it cute. When you see him in person, ain't nothing with a high and bye. If you want to be short, then that's fine. Because listen, I'm the queen of being short. Hi, how you doing? Or I'm the queen of not speaking. But that is your friend's husband. So he's almost like family. So what I would recommend to you is just to keep it cute. Hey, how you doing? Oh, all right. Okay, good. All right. I'm about to go over here and get something to drink. I'll see y'all later. And keep your distance. That's all. But, you know, continue to love and support your friend and allow your friend to make the mistakes that they're going to make. Because we only can learn from our mistakes, and you being a good friend will be there for her ups and her downs. And so that's what I would recommend to you, D. I hope that helps, but trust me, I've been in that situation before. I've had to write advice to Bryce to myself. But if you guys got any advice with me, or you have any advice for me, please feel free to email me at thepurplepantspodcast@gmail.com, and you know your baby boy gotcha. Now, this last segment before we conclude this lituation of an episode, Freak of the Week, baby. Now, this Freak of the Week had me dying, okay? I'm just minding my business, scrolling through the Instagram when I was in New York at night watching The Irishman, and I see Dan Renningjing from David vs. Goliath, okay, on his Instagram, and I, like, saw the photo, and I said, ooh. Did his Instagram get hacked? Okay. And the caption says, oh, y'all nasty. Y'all got super excited and slammed on the brakes just to look at a cat's foot. Now, he posted a photo on his Instagram that when you just scrolling at night, look like a penis. And I said, oh, wait a minute. I was getting ready to screenshot. Like, oh, did this photo get hacked? Did he meant to post something else? But y'all have to go to his Instagram. Okay. Or you go to his Twitter, Dan Renningjing, and check it out. Because I was cracking up. You know, the hot cop from David vs. Goliath, okay? I was like, what is going on? I was dying. But listen, he got us good. So make sure you go to his Instagram at DanielRenningjing and take a look at that cat's foot and scream. And y'all already know what to do. You know, tag it, say Freak of the Week, Purple Pants Podcast, okay? He the second time Freak of the Week. See, listen, okay? I gotta keep my eye out on him. But, whew, listen, it's been a lituation this week. Thank you so much for listening. And you know what I need you to do. If you have not already, please subscribe to this podcast. Rate us. Write a review and tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. We also are on Instagram at the Purple Pants Podcast as well. Come on, follow us. I'd like to post some exclusive content about the upcoming episodes and these episodes. But as always, it's been so much fun. It's a lituation. And you already know, it's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public. Might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back, though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants.